following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 8th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And, man, I'm telling you what, today is just one of those days where I can feel it, right? I really just feel the fall in the air, the football that's upon us, and maybe no, it doesn't feel like it temperature wise, but my goodness, it's just there's so much happening around college football, high school football, and maybe that's because here at Auburn Network, we're just getting everything ready to go for all of you this fall, for all of our content we're going to push out for you, and it's going to be historic, is what some people are saying, and so maybe that's what it is on this Thursday afternoon, but I hope you're doing well. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He is back with us, yes, back in action. Been a few weeks. We've had conflicting schedules, and that happens in the summertime, but Brad Law is back with us. It'll be a little bit earlier today, so we're going to take an early break to get the show started. He'll be with us at 2:15, but we'll catch up with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, and then Chris Gordy, host of the Locked on SEC podcast. He's with us every Thursday. He will be with us coming up in hour number two. That'll be at 3:30. Until then, though, phone lines are open on this Thursday afternoon. 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about today? I'm curious on how you all are feeling as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. 23 days until Auburn football kicks off the 2024 season. 2 weeks tomorrow from high school football. And there's just so much to do, yes, but there's so much to still cover and go over and preview for the upcoming seasons. And earlier today, as Doug just handed it off to me here in Auburn, I was with him at 11:20, I think, on Thursdays, like I usually am. And him and I had a lot of fun today, and we went long, which is totally fine by me because the conversations were just so great, right? About how the SEC is just so wide open. I mean, it's so open. There's so many unknowns. There's so many question marks. And there's a couple of reasons for that I was talking to him about. But at the end of the day, for you as a fan, and look, let's be real. We're fans of this too. Like, we are the diehard fans, us in the radio side of it, because if we weren't, we wouldn't be able to talk about it for as long as we do. And it sets up this season for all of us to just have a lot of fun. And for us here in Auburn, it's been a few years since we've had a fun college football season, especially with Auburn in particular. But I don't know if you're this way, but I am, and I will admit it. When Auburn doesn't do well in a particular sport, it's really, or any of my teams for that matter, doesn't have to be Auburn. It could be my beloved Packers in the NFL or my Red Sox right now in baseball. Braves are the same way, trying to find any sort of momentum here on the backstretch. When my teams aren't doing well, I find it difficult to enjoy that sport overall as much as I do when my team is doing well. And that may sound super simple, and you may be saying, well, yeah, everybody's like that, but I feel like I'm a little extreme, especially with college football, because I love it so much and I'm so passionate about it. But man, it just rips my heart out when Auburn is struggling and it doesn't help when your biggest rivals are off winning national championships, right? It's especially near the end of the seasons when you're getting into high-level bowl games, playoff games, and NCAA tournaments and things like that. Like, oh, man, when Auburn basketball gets bounced from the NCAA tournament, oh, I'm just depressed because there's so many other games, and you know they're going to be good. I kind of watch it with a little hesitancy, and that's just me being not petty, but I don't know. That's just that's just how I am with being a fan. But with this upcoming season, there's so much to be excited about, even if it doesn't go the way we think it's going to go for Auburn, or if you're not an Auburn fan for your particular team. I just have a feeling that this is going to be a great college football season. And there's going to be, I mean, just hundreds of storylines and different news headlines going around. And that's what gets me pumped up. And that's what I was kind of thinking about on this Thursday. And I hope you feel the same way. And let's see if somebody does. We'll get to the phone lines here early in the show. I like it. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Jacob. It's John in Auburn.
Hey, John.
I have a question about the SEC this year for you.
Sure.
So something I was thinking about, so let's assume for a second, this is going to be a hypothetical. It's not mathematically impossible, but it's my favorite game, the what-if game. So let's say a team like Georgia runs the table this year in the conference and goes 8-0.
Okay.
Let's say you have a three-way tie for second in the conference at 6-2. Which I think is feasible. And let's say it's one of these deals where the three teams play each other in head-to-head and everybody goes 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
It actually would be advantageous, perhaps, for a team to not win the tiebreaker and just go 6-2 into the playoffs, then risk a third conference loss and risk getting put out of the playoffs.
In terms of the SEC championship game?
Right.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And I've been on that for a little bit to where I don't know if this would ever happen, John, but I feel that there could come a day, which is insane to think about, but everybody thinks ideas are crazy until they come true. I think there could become a day where a team will decline an SEC championship or a conference championship game bid, or the crazier thing, conference championship games fizzle out and don't exist anymore, because
I can see that happening easily.
Yeah, but well, the only problem there is all the money they would lose, which we know that's right. What it's all about. But
well, I'll give you a quick example.
Yeah,
and,
go for
and
it.
You might be aware of this, but in I think it was after the 1996 season, Auburn was scheduled to play Notre Dame in the Independence Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and Notre Dame backed out because they said playing in such a lower tier bowl game would irreparably harm the image of Notre Dame football.
That's about on par for them.
Which really makes the current events with us poaching their quarterback really funny to me. But just really interesting. Hey, one more hypothetical, if I may.
Shoot.
Let's say Alabama goes 9-3 this year with a loss to Auburn.
Okay.
And 9-3 next year with a loss to Auburn, and Freeze has a better recruiting class than DeBoer in 26. How hot would that seat be for DeBoer, or would he be gone in that situation?
Does Alabama make the playoff in either one of those years in your hypothetical situation?
Let's say they make it one year, or let's say they make it 1 out of 2 years.
I don't think he would be on a horrible hot seat, but I think the fans would be on him, especially losing to Auburn. Those are the two. Those two losses would be the ones they'd get on him for. And let's say he made the playoff year one with losing to Auburn, but then he lost to Auburn back-to-back years and missed the playoff that second year. Yeah, that year three would be the heat would be turned up. I'm not saying he would lose his job after another mediocre year, but it would be turned up on him. There's no doubt.
And I don't think Auburn will wind up with a number one recruiting class in 26. But if Auburn can stay ahead of Alabama, that's going to make things very, very interesting for our recruiting classes moving forward.
I agree, and I think that'll keep it interesting with whoever's coaching at Alabama, whether it's Kalen DeBoer or whoever else is after him. You know what I mean? That's something that they have not been used to for a long, long time, and I promise you that will make them upset. They will be awakened, or however you say that. They will arise from that. You know what I mean?
And same with Kirby. If Kirby starts not getting recruits with the off-the-field problems he has,
yep,
that could turn a little interesting in a hurry with the how much they're – paying the man. So,
yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Jacob.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. Those are great questions, and I want to circle back to those in just a little bit. I'm going to write that stuff down during the break because I like all of those things that John was getting into. We need to take an early break because Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is going to join us a little bit early today, normally 2:30, but he had something going on, and so we're going to get him on early at 2:15. So let's do that. Let's take an early break. We'll come back. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
On the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Well, it's a little earlier than we normally visit with this guy, but we're just happy to have him back on the airwaves here on ESPN 106.7. He is with the Auburn Sports Network. You're going to hear him a lot coming up in just a few weeks when we get this Auburn football season kicked off. It's Brad Law with us on the phone lines. Brad, it's great to hear from you. It's been too long.
It has. 23 days away now from kickoff, and I love that it's earlier than it has been in a while. Let's get everything going in August, and let's see what this team is really all about. It's turning heads. Everybody who watches practice goes, oh, there's something different about this bunch.
I think it's just the appearance, right? They just have a different look and at every position, Brad, at every single spot, whether it's offensively or defensively. It's just you can tell that there is a different – what's the word you use? A different brand of athlete that's stepping on the field this season for Auburn.
Well, there were two areas where coming out of last season, you thought that the roster needed a bit of a transformation, whether it was increasing the talent versus the depth or increasing one player. But Auburn went out and brought in five brand new interior defensive linemen. And, oh, by the way, it looks like Keldrick Falk has taken a step forward. And
Brad, we seem to be losing you a little bit, my man.
Caldwell. No, that's unacceptable.
Hey, man, I'm doing my best. All right, I got you back now, I think.
All right, we'll see if this you went out in the offseason and beefed up the depth in your defensive line, especially the interior, and then at wide receiver, be it the four freshmen or a couple of transfers that came in, your leading returning receiver, not counting Rivaldo Fairweather, is Caleb Burton. And you're probably, with all due respect to Caleb, he can be a big part of this team, but you're probably talking about him fourth or fifth among wide receivers that you're really excited to see in the rotation this year. So they identified those two main target areas and did exactly what they wanted to do, and it makes a difference.
There's been so much talk going into this year about the schedule that Auburn has, right? And it's one of the easier schedules we've seen in quite some time for Auburn in particular. It's not easy by any means, Brad, but in relation to what we've seen in the past, it's a manageable schedule. And that includes road trips to Georgia and Alabama. I mean, there has to be a mindset of let's attack this thing early and see where the season takes us.
Yeah, and so Missouri's probably a top 15 team or top 12 team to start the season, but you start thinking about some of the teams that you miss on the schedule, and LSU's not there. LSU is going to be a highly touted top 15 preseason squad. Ole Miss is going to be top 10 before the year starts, and you miss them. You miss Tennessee, which has got one of the top offensive lines in the conference. I mean, some of the teams that you don't face are as important as some of the teams that Auburn faces. You still got to go to Georgia. We know what that looks like. I think Georgia's going to be in a rampage this year after being left out of the playoff a year ago. You don't, I mean, you still got to go to Tuscaloosa, but, you know, the roster's still very good. But there are a lot of very good rosters in the SEC. And by November, who knows how their season has played out. So, I love the way the schedule sets up. You get those five home games to start the year, and each one of them, I think each of your first six games is one step forward in the challenge that it presents. And so there's no back and forth. You're taking another step up on the ladder every single week in the first half of the season.
I like that. I like that a lot, and it's no secret on what Auburn could do if they start out really well. There's so much chatter about what if Auburn's 5-0, right, when they go to Athens and all that type of stuff. And I mean, and at that point, yeah, I mean, there's a lot in front of this team if that is to be the case, and we still have to figure out what that's going to be like. Outside of the team itself for this year, the recruiting side of things, you know, this is just going off the rails. People are going insane. You've got other fan bases that are threatening to fight, and they're getting all riled up. I mean, Hugh Freeze has stirred the pot a little bit on the recruiting trail, huh, Brad?
It's all about alignment, Jacob. As you know, it's all about alignment.
That's right.
And, well, what does that mean? Like, it doesn't just mean that the athletic director wants to win and the head coach wants to win. And everybody wants to win everywhere. But alignment comes from your vision for what the program and the culture should look like. And for a long time, you've been looking for that perfect fit at Auburn. Auburn sells family. Auburn prides itself on family. And it's not just a football factory where you're cranking out wins regardless of what you have to do to get them. Yeah, you want the wins and the championships are the goal, but what's it like after football? Are you developing what it'll take to be a man once football is over, whether it's when college is over or your professional career is over? What's your legacy? What's your impact? What do you do with your platform? And Hugh Freeze is, I don't think he takes a backseat to anybody in terms of selling that. He's a relationship builder. He is a life after football kind of guy, big picture perspective thinker. And he at Auburn, like, he's good at that wherever he is. And Auburn is good at selling that no matter who's the head coach. But you put the two of them together, that's alignment. And that's why, in no small part, why you're seeing a lot of the success, I believe, that you're seeing. Now, it helps that there's playing time available and there's a chance to rebuild the program and restore some tradition and build new history and things of that nature. But I think the core of it is you have a relationship builder, a family guy, with a program that prides itself on family.
If I make you choose, which I'm going to, which one excites you more currently right now as it stands? As the fact that Auburn has a top five class in 2025, or that Auburn is sitting atop of the 2026 at number one in that recruiting class?
I think it's 25, because there's still there's still dominoes to fall in that class, and they'll fall sooner. So I'm a little more excited about that group. I will get, in the long run, probably even more excited about 26, because by the time you get to that class, you'll have the 24 season to, like, water the soil that's already been tilled and worked and planted and all of that. So, and I'm very high on what Auburn can do on the field this year, so I think that only helps. But I think it says a lot about this staff that they go out and they identify, all right, we're going to do this. There are people who heard Hugh Freeze and staff talking about sweeping the top 10 in state back in the summertime, or earlier in the summer. I guess we're still in the summer. Earlier in the summertime. And doggone if it doesn't look like they could go out and do that if a couple of things go their way over the next few months.
Yeah, that's been what the fans are so excited about, because they can see it, right? They are visibly seeing it on whatever site you want to go to, that the top players in this state, they continue to come back to the Auburn and visit and then commit. And so a lot of that happening in 2025 and a lot of it happening in 26 as well. We're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. A few more minutes, and I know we got to get you out of here. Basketball-wise, there's been so much conversation on the non-conference schedule that it seems all the big fish have been brought out and everything's been finalized, with Auburn playing the likes of Duke and Purdue and Ohio State and Houston. I mean, you guys are going to have a lot of fun traveling with this team this year, Brad.
Yeah, it makes me wish I did travel with them, because that's going to be a tremendous schedule and tremendous road trips and opportunities. We talk about opportunities for witnesses, for fans to go see them on the road, and for the team itself. We've seen now the standard is that these non-conference neutral site games early in the year don't hurt you when it comes tournament time. They can help you if you win them. They don't hurt you if you lose them. And Auburn's going to go out and try to win all of them. Let's don't forget that Maui schedule includes UConn, the two-time defending national champion, and some other really big, like I think maybe North Carolina's in that group too. So you've got the potential for a couple of more high profile games early in the year for a roster that is among the top 1, 2, 3 rosters in the SEC. So, yeah, BP has built the schedule to match the roster, and I can't wait to see it play out.
With Auburn football kicking off in 23 days, you'll have some stuff leading up to the kickoff on the Plains and then stuff going all season long. What can you tell the fans? What can you tell our listeners before we let you go? What they need to know with everything coming out of the Auburn Sports Network?
Well, we have, we strive to make our game day broadcast the best in the country. And so we try to find guests from, former players. And, of course, this is the 20th anniversary of the 2004 team. And we have Jason Campbell and Ronnie Brown and Will Herring, who were on that team, that are a part of our crew. We hope that throughout the year we're going to do some storytelling and look back 20 years to that to the team that should have been a national championship team.
Mm-hmm.
I think I maybe said national. They're the undefeated team, and they should have been national champs, put it that way. So we're going to look back and do some storytelling throughout the year that we think fans will enjoy, and just continue to strive. We want to enhance your game day experience. There are a lot of choices you can make on an Auburn football game day, and we want to make it as worth it as possible for you to choose our broadcast. So we're going to continue to do that this year.
Well, we appreciate everything that you guys do, and looking forward to another year working with you between Auburn Network here and you guys at the Auburn Sports Network. And yeah, it's here, man. It's upon us, and we're having meetings, seems like every day, just getting everything lined up and ready to go. And we're looking forward to the first Tiger Talk, and then, of course, kickoff on the Plains.
Yep, going to be a lot of fun. And we've got announcements coming regarding Tiger Talk and our crew and a lot of other stuff coming up. So be on the lookout for those. And I just love it. It's August, and we play football this month. So let the countdown continue.
I love it. Brad, thanks so much for your time, and we appreciate it. And we'll get you back on next week, okay?
You bet, Jacob. Thank you. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with me every Thursday throughout all of the athletic season, starting pretty much right now. And we'll carry him through all the way into next summer. And so he's normally with me 2:30. This was just a little bit earlier. You could hear he was on the way. He had some responsibilities to take care of, and I totally understand. And we're just thankful for any time that we're able to speak with him. And just a reminder. Right, just a reminder for those of you that are here in the Auburn Opelika area, your home for Auburn, for the Auburn Sports Network, is Wings 94.3 for football and men's basketball. You've got baseball. We are airing women's basketball, Tiger Talk everywhere. I mean, just anything you can imagine, man. Our partnership with them got kicked off a year ago once again, and we're just so happy to be with them, and there's so many great things to look forward to. As he mentioned, announcements coming for Tiger Talk, so stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up, and then, 23 days in the first game for Auburn football to start the season. And T-Bone has mentioned it a couple of times, and I'm sure Jack mentioned it when he was in here the other day, but we are bringing back our Game Day on Wings 94.3 show. Would love to get T-Bone maybe on Monday when he's in here. He's not here tomorrow, but he'll be here on Monday. We'll do a full kind of announcement for that, but just stick around for that too, because that's coming back for another year. We have an announcement on that as well, in case we haven't said that already. So I mean, there's nowhere else for you to be between ESPN and Wings 94.3. You got it all covered. You got your sports talk, and then you got the sports broadcast. So be sure that you have Wings 94.3 in your car, wingsfm.com, tabbed up on your computer, and download our Radio Alabama app. All right, that's our parent company in Sylacauga. We took all of our stations and put them in one friendly app for you. You can download that Radio Alabama on your App Store, Google Play, and that'll get you taken care of for football, basketball, baseball season, and all summer long. We're 30 minutes into hour number one. We'll make some comments about what Brad had to say, plus loop back to some of the questions we got early in the show about what happens if conference championship games go away, and is there pressure on Kalen DeBoer if they start losing this important game? We got all that and more coming up for you here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we're halfway through hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us early on the show today. He's normally at this time slot, but we were able to get him on a little bit earlier, and we always appreciate his time. And I want to go back to some of the things that John in Auburn, who called in during the first segment, brought up. And you can call in. You can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390, or you can just shoot me a text if you don't want to talk on the air. That's cool. If you got a quick question or a comment or something, you can send me a text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. And a couple of things that I did not have on my didn't have on the agenda, but I like it, and that's why I like you guys calling in. You have different ideas, different topics, and look, I'm here for you. And he brought up a few things. And he was talking in a hypothetical situation where you have a team like Georgia that goes undefeated, but then you have a few other teams around the SEC that go like 6-2 in conference play, right, with their 8 conference games, which eventually it's going to be 9. But for now, it is the 8 conference games. And if you have a situation, and again, the math isn't completely worked out and haven't dove into everything, but just speaking hypothetically for a second, you have a team like Georgia that goes 8-0. You have 3 other teams that go 6-2 that all have tiebreakers with each other some way, shape, or form, okay? He was asking, at what point does it become advantageous for you to not play in your conference championship game? And I told him, and I'll tell you again, I've been on this for quite some time. I believe that there could come a day where one or both of these things happen, where you're going to have a team on both sides of this that decide, you know what? I don't want to play in my conference championship game. I'd rather be ready to go for the playoff. It's what Alabama did a few years ago. They didn't decline the invite. They just found their way out of it, right? They were able to dodge it, and they took advantage of it. And think about, for an undefeated team like Georgia, for example, if you do win every game in your conference, in this expanded college football playoff, what does it do? How does it help that Georgia team to go to Atlanta and play another physical game? I remember growing up when Auburn had to play Georgia and then Alabama, and then right there, right, even just a handful of years ago, when if Auburn was good back in the days of SEC West and East, and isn't that crazy to say, when Auburn was good and Georgia got good, we always said Auburn had to play 3 national championships before they even considered playing in the playoff or the BCS or whichever, because you had to play Georgia, Alabama, and then most likely Georgia again, which is how it happened. Because of how good those teams were, that's what it felt like. And that was, it was such a difficult path to get to the promised land. But for right now, a team like Georgia, or any team that goes undefeated or one loss in the SEC, you've got a guaranteed 100% lock spot in the college football playoff. At that point, the only thing a team could play for is better seeding, right? A better position in the college football playoff. But that undefeated team doesn't get anything. They literally cannot gain anything. A number one undefeated Georgia gains absolutely nothing by playing in the SEC championship game. Oh, well, what about the tradition and the ring and the banner and the history? Who cares? Who cares? What's more important? You want to win an SEC championship? Or do you want to win the college football championship? Or at least give yourself a better chance to do so? Because I have a feeling that if you were to talk in this hypothetical that may not be so hypothetical in the near future situation, if you were to talk with head coaches around this league and you asked them this very question and they said, hey, if you had the opportunity to make the college football playoff and avoid the SEC championship game in the year 2024, would you do it? I'll ask you. How about I'll open this up to you, the listener. For your team, whether that be Auburn or any other team, if you had a chance to get there and not have to worry about the SEC championship game, would you do it? I would. I absolutely would. Especially if you're a team, which I don't think this would be the scenario, but because of how it works now, where it's just the top two teams that make it to the SEC championship game, I highly, highly doubt that one of those teams would be in a must-win scenario to get to the playoff. Do you see what I'm saying here? I don't think that's ever going to be the case. I think whichever two teams make it to Atlanta to the SEC championship game, they're in. Win or lose. Win by 50, lose by 50, win by one, lose by one. I think they're both in, given the dominance of the SEC and how tough it's now going to be to get to the SEC championship game. But it's not a requirement anymore. Remember in the BCS era, yeah, you had to win that SEC championship game, be crowned SEC champs, if you even wanted to have a chance to play in that game. And we know all too well, that still doesn't guarantee it. In the four-team college football playoff, if you weren't competing for the SEC championship, there was a decent chance you weren't going to get to the playoff, but that wasn't always the case because of the SEC West and East divisions. But now, with those being eliminated and they're not having to take a team from both sides, that's what plagued the Big Ten forever, for years. Right? It was either Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State. Like, all of the best teams were on the one side of the conference, and the other representative would be a mediocre Wisconsin team, Iowa, Minnesota. Like, teams like that, that's what hurt the Big Ten for so long. But I say all of that to say this. I just don't know how much longer teams are going to get up and get excited about their conference championship games because of how it's changed. When it was West versus East, when you gained something by winning it other than the ring and the banner, yeah, you got up, you prepared, and you went and played the game and you tried your hardest to win. But now, especially in this conference, all it's going to do is hurt you. Hurt your players if they get injured, right? It's hurting your pocketbook if you're the school, which they probably don't care. The fan base, right? You got to travel to another game. All of that hurts you. And at that point, in my opinion, I don't see how one more game in between your season, regular season finale, and the college football playoff, are you going to get that much better in that game? Is there something that happens there where you just take the next step as a team and it propels you into a better playoff performance? I don't think so. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I just don't think that would be the case. Because if you're still trying to get better, which get better every day, I get that. But you see what I'm saying here. It's not a good thing anymore. It doesn't help you at all. All it does is hurt you. And some people disagree with this, and that's fine. But I believe that the day will come when an undefeated team from this very conference in the Southeastern Conference, whether it be Georgia or Bama or Texas or whoever the case may be, there will come the day that when they are undefeated, they're the number one, two, three, or four team in the country. Because remember, that team gets a bye now. They get a bye in the college football playoff. When they are a representative in the SEC championship game, they're going to write a letter. And it's going to be signed by the AD and the president and the head coach and whoever. And it's going to say, well, we are honored to be the representative, one of the representatives for the SEC in Atlanta for the championship game. For the betterment of our team and our program, we politely decline the invitation to play in the SEC championship game. And they're going to turn it down. And they're going to go and prepare for a college football playoff run. And can you blame them? Could you blame them? I just think it's going to happen. And it's so crazy to think about. Because it's always been, okay, you're the two best. You go and play. You go and win that game, and your season's alive. If you lose, you sit around and wait for a bowl game assignment. But I don't think that's – eventually it will happen. And then the crazier part of this, which I told John, and this one may take a little bit longer, but if that starts to happen, then there's a good chance that conference championship games go away forever. Or eventually just start fizzling out one by one. But that's a lot of money to lose, and that's a different conversation. And I've had this before, and it's really weird to think about that it could potentially happen, but I don't know. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree. Up to you. I just think it was a fun topic that John brought up. He also brought up this one too, which this will be a lot of fun for Auburn people. He asked the question, if Alabama in year one with Kalen DeBoer goes 9-3 and loses to Auburn, in year two, he goes 9-3 and loses to Auburn. But in that first year, so this year, Bama goes 9-3, one of those losses is to Auburn, but they make the college football playoff. Next year, they go 9-3, they lose to Auburn, and they miss the college football playoff. Is Kalen DeBoer on the quoted hot seat going into year three? That was John's hypothetical question. Year one for Kalen DeBoer, 9-3, loses to Auburn, makes the playoff. Year two, 9-3, loses to Auburn, misses the playoff. What happens in year three? Is it do or die for him? Is it win or go home in year three for DeBoer? I think they would start to have those conversations. I really do, especially, and John brought this up as well, if the recruiting continues to do what it's doing right now with Auburn dominating Alabama. If all of those things continue, then you better believe it, that DeBoer would be on the hot seat going into year three, which I've told you, 3 years is what you get. That's what you have. That's your timeline now as a new head coach in college football. I hate it. I disagree. I think it's not right, but that's what you get. Most programs, you get 3 years. You don't have to win a national championship in year three. You just got to show significant progress and heading in the right direction in year three with whatever the problems were, which if you're a new head coach, there was probably a lot of them at that program. For Auburn, right, for Hugh Freeze, it was, man, we don't have any players. We got to recruit. We got to get some talent. We got to win. We got to go on the road and beat some people. Like, we got to get ourselves out of this dark era. And Hugh Freeze has started to do those things. For Alabama, there wasn't a whole lot going wrong for them. I mean, they were still the top of the game. But for Kalen DeBoer, it's more of, rather than, hey, fix our problems, it's continue our success. That's what they want from him. And in year three, if he has back-to-back seasons where he lost to Auburn, he goes 0-2 against Hugh Freeze and makes one out of two college football playoffs. It's crazy, but that's shooting and missing on the standard over there. And they've set that for themselves. So, yeah, I think so. I think he'd be on a hot seat. And I think the fans would be going insane. But again, that's what they've built for themselves. And so they have every right to act that way and be upset if that were to be the case. Do I think all of that happens? No. Unfortunately, probably not. Probably not. But I'll say this. I think Auburn wins the Iron Bowl one of these next 2 years. I don't think that's crazy to say. That's not a hot take. It's in Tuscaloosa this year. I think Auburn can win it this year. And then it's back in Jordan-Hare next year. And who knows? Who knows what could happen with the new look roster again, with highly rated recruiting, fans going crazy. You just never know. But for Auburn, they're trying to go up, and Bama's trying to stay up. Which one will prevail? That's the big story over the next handful of years in this state. Let's take our final break here in hour number one. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. We've got a text. We'll get to that when we come back and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I got a text in our On the Line text box at 334-784-1067 about the conversation I was just having with you about could there be a day where conference championships don't exist or teams decline their conference championship invitation or, you know, they qualify or whatever you want to call it. And got a text here and says, maybe implement some type of penalty, like if you qualify for your conference championship and decline it, you're not eligible for the playoffs. That's interesting. And there's a couple of things to that. I don't think the conference would do that, whether it's the SEC, Big Ten, or whoever, but we'll stick with the SEC just to keep it easy. I don't think the SEC would do that because as mad as they would be, and upset as they would be to whichever team started the trend of declining championship game bids, they don't want to see that team not be in the college football playoff, right? They don't want to see them not represent the conference on the biggest stage and with all the money and television that that brings in. So I don't think the conference would do it. That would end up having to be, what, like an NCAA maybe rule or a playoff committee rule, which I don't think the NCAA, do we really trust the NCAA to do anything like that? No, it would take 15 years, and by that point, they'll still be digging through their mail where the SEC and all the other big conferences tell them to kick rocks that they don't want to be a part of them anymore. So they're not going to do it. Maybe the playoff committee does, and maybe, here you go, I think there could be a workaround to this. Maybe the conferences work with the playoff and just say, okay, if Georgia declines their SEC championship game bid, then we're not putting them in the playoff. I just don't think they would do it. You know what I mean? Like, I get where you're going, and I get where you're coming from. That's one of the go-to responses in anything is, okay, you don't want them to do something, then punish them if they do, or set a punishment in place to prevent them from doing said thing. Right? That happens all the time. I just don't think they would hurt themselves by punishing a good team or even a great team that's going to bring in views and fans and money and a potential championship team. Now, if it's the Mountain West or something like that, and they're like, ah, we're good, we don't want to play in our championship game, then fine, I guess. But with any Power Four conference, I have a hard time believing that they would hurt themselves by doing that. And so that seems to be the problem with that idea. I like where you're heading, though, because they'll find a way if they want to, and they being the SEC, the Big Ten, whoever, if they want to preserve their championship games for validity and money and prime content, they'll find a way to do it. And believe me, Greg Sankey is one of the smartest dudes in this business. He will figure it out. But at what point is that fight not worth fighting? I don't know. I like your idea, though. I do. I like your idea, and I think there could be something like that. Could be recruiting. Could be NIL, right? Restrictions, possibly. Something like that. Something else that impacts them. But withholding them from the playoff, I just don't know. I don't think they'd take that step. But, again, I like where you're heading, my man. All right, that's it for hour number one. Stick around. More football news coming up in hour number two. We've got some betting previews with over-under win totals for the SEC. Really excited to get into that. And we'll carry that on with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He will join us coming up in hour number two as well. You can be a part of the show, though. 334-321-1390. Shoot me a text as well. 334-784-1067. Also, upset brewing in the Olympics for the United States basketball team. All that and more coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find that it's just the show uploaded on demand wherever you get your podcast, or the easiest way to find it is our station website at ESPNAU.com. It'll be posted after the show today. You can also listen to the show live there every day. All of our wonderful coverage here on ESPN 106.7. So go check that out, ESPNAU.com. Talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in hour number one. Caught up with him. It's been a couple of weeks since we were able to get him on the show, and so I got to get some updates from him and his thoughts on fall practice, recruiting, basketball. Gave you some updates from the Auburn Sports Network side of things in terms of broadcasts and all of that. So that was in the first hour. Had a lot of fun having some hypotheticals, but ones that I think could become reality conversations around college football in the near future. So that was all in that first hour. Go check it out with the podcast later on today. Here in hour number two, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us coming up in about 30 minutes and get his thoughts on everything going on around the Southeastern Conference, updates from fall practice, more recruiting things, so much to get to around this conference. So he'll join us in about 30 minutes or so. And we're going to get the hour started with an article that ESPN put out with the updated win totals in the SEC from ESPN Bet. But before we do, Want to remind you that hour two, each and every day, on ESPN 106.7 during On the Line, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you, and you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So be sure you check them out, theorthoclinic.com, and we appreciate them bringing you the second hour each and every day here on ESPN 106.7. Before we get to betting previews and win totals for the SEC, let's get to the phone lines, huh? 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
How you doing, bud? This is Greg Bush. How you been, man?
I'm good, man. It's good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I listen to you every day. I got a long drive, so I've been listening to you the past 2 weeks. I've been going to call in. I heard you talking about the win totals.
Yeah.
Tell me, don't feel a little different this year.
What, for Auburn?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely feels different this year. There's no doubt.
It's coming from miles on back in the day. We had a conversation the other day talking to some friends, and I told them, I said, the worst thing that ever happened to miles on was his first year going to the championship game.
Mm.
It just set an unrealistic expectation on some things, and he missed on some quarterbacks here and there, and when you got Bo Nix in, if you'd have had the right pieces, if Bo Nix would have had this receiving group that he's got right now, ain't no telling what we could have done. But
what a fun conversation that could be. That you talk about a what if situation, a what if conversation. You know that's my favorite game to play. What if freshman Bo Nix is walking into this room right now? Holy smokes.
I'm telling you right now, Bo Nix is there with Hugh Freeze bringing the talent like he's getting. This is realistic. I mean, the offensive line issues gone. I mean, they flipped this roster.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing the work that they've put in. And, just listening to the players, listening to the coaches. You can hear a coach speak, in, I don't know, we'll say 5 years, 5 years from now, we've heard enough of coach speak. Say this, say that, and all right. You can tell something is changed over there, and it's nice to see the whole program pulling in the right direction. It's just been far too long, and I'm just for the first time in a long time, I'm looking forward to the season. I'm not saying we're going to win a championship, but I tell you right now, I ain't no doubt in my mind we're going to win 8 ball games. I'm going to say that. You put me on the record with it.
I like it. I like it. And I think that's the way most Auburn fans should think. And I think more and more of them are starting to get to that mindset of 8 wins is not all that hard. And I say that not in a bad way, not that it's an easy schedule or anything like that, or easy to get 8 wins in this conference, but it just – With everything you just talked about, right? The roster and the vibes and the buy-in and the coaching staff, like 8 wins is very attainable, and I think Auburn fans are starting to accept that.
Well, the trajectory, bud. You can see the needle pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the recruits you got right now. I'm just say, you get to thinking about, okay, who are you going after? But in previous years, you're sitting there, you got all these guys, you're talking about tier two guys and everything else. I can name it off the top of my head right now, what you got right now. what you're looking at, I can sit there and list, 5 or 6 guys, and that's who they're going in all for.
Yeah.
And then you talk about this, maybe Turbo Jones, out of, Montgomery played at IMG, possibly maybe looking at him. That's what everybody's leaving out on this right here is they also talking to Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they, in a sense, he's kind of a tier two guy that is out of Alabama. We're just talking about where we might fit in this for me.
And there's so many of those guys. You know what I mean? There's so many of that type of player that Auburn has either gotten or in on, or they think they're going to get. You know what I'm saying? And so that you're right. That's what it's those types of things, my man, that make a difference. That is the difference. That's why it feels different. That's why it looks different. It's because it is different.
Oh, it is. He's a niche kind of guy, but I mean, if we can get this quarterback situation ironed out and keep going, and that's the thing that plays, in my opinion, the offensive line and the quarterback, because that might turn happy to receivers.
Sure.
I mean, you've always had a decent defense, but if you can keep these quarterbacks coming in like you're supposed to, and, you know, this guy knows how you're coming in, you're going redshirt, and we're going to coach you up. But we're also put the talent around you to succeed. And that was a big reason, you know, Bo Nix, he didn't have the talent around him. And everybody wants to talk about our quarterback this year. And I'm just going to tell you right now, that guy right there last year, and you can listen, I tell you the interview to anybody out there that wants to talk about Peyton Thorne. Listen to the interview they done with his ex-teammate from high school, the receiver. What was his name?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Sam Jackson.
Yeah, right? Sam Jackson, who's here right now.
Yeah. Well, you listen to him. You listen to him and what he said in that interview he gives. That'll tell you everything you need to know. Because if you don't have trust, when you throw it, you're throwing it where a guy says he didn't have the faith in.
Right.
He didn't have the faith in the guys ahead of us here. And I know people want to step around and just be honest about it. He didn't have the talent, and the people didn't pan out the way they were supposed to pan out last year.
I agree.
And yeah, I know Coach Freeze said he was pressing, but what you press? I mean, you used to throw one to the Colemans over at Michigan State. You come to Auburn, and you got only guy you had really was the tight end, and then your leading receiver is a tight end. That's everything that you need to know.
Bingo! You nailed it right there. Yep, you nailed it right there.
Throw under 100 yards against Alabama and Georgia, and you're losing the last guys. I mean, you got difference makers over there. I know we got freshmen, but you also got some older guys. I mean, look at KLS, and you got one kid. He's on awards once. This guy, Georgia State.
Yeah, I mean, you got Cal, Georgia State. I mean, you've got Caleb Burton, still the Ohio State transfer. I mean, you got all sorts of dudes coming in.
I mean, you got talent. You got talent there, and I think, you know, it's nice for once to see Auburn pulling in the right direction, recruiting the quarterback, stockpiling the cover, because the cover was bare, but I didn't expect him to flip the script like he literally said he was going to do, and he does it.
Yep, that's what I admire, man. Freeze said what he was going to do, and he's well on his way to doing it. Hey, great to hear from you, my man. Thanks so much.
Man, you too, bro. War Eagle.
Yep, War Eagle to you as well. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line. You can call in, be a part of the show. And I appreciate the things that he was saying because, you know, he started it all off by saying, doesn't it just feel different? And you heard what I had to say. It feels different and it looks different because it is different. And the way that we ended just right there, the fact that Hugh Freeze, when he was hired here, right, he showed his appreciation for a second chance. You could see it in his face. You could hear it in his words. And I think you can feel it by his actions. And he laid out a game plan and a strategy and a roadmap of what he wanted to do here. And folks, he is spot on with what he wanted to do. He is right on course, right on pace, right on track, right? He is doing exactly what he said he would do. No, he's not ahead of the curve. He's not ahead of the game. But the reason he's not ahead of his plan was because his plan shot for the moon. He shot for the moon. And he's about to hit the stars. He came in and said, I want to revive the 2024 class. Done. I want to make a top five class in 2025. That's going to happen. And then I want 2026 to be the number one class in the country. And guess what? It is right now. Will it be that way by the end? Nobody knows. If they tell you they know, they don't. But he's doing those things correctly. He said he was going to flip this roster and go get some guys. He did it. And now, the game plan and the roadmap that he's laid out is, it's time to go win some games. It's time to go play competitive football, change the mindset, change the culture that was absolutely destroyed in the end of the Malzahn era and during the Harsin years. All of that went out the window. It was gone. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Which is why I don't think some people understand quite what Hugh Freeze took over when he walked in the front door. And that is in about 20 different ways, in 20 different areas where he had to walk around and just go, oh my God. I mean, there was it was a massacre. I mean, just looking around and thinking, man, there's a lot of work to do. And not everybody would put their head down and try to do it, right? Some people would have taken the job, seen the disaster, and said, well, we'll give it a shot. If it doesn't work out, you're going to pay me a bunch of millions of dollars and I'll live happy the rest of my days. That's not what Hugh Freeze has done at all. At all. He's come in and has had very few off days. He tells us that. He's like, look, man, off days don't come around very often. And just like any new job or new position or new project, there are very few days off. And I always have felt this way. I was raised this way. I've grown up this way. And it's a huge reason why I believe I'm where I'm at today. You have to earn those types of things. You have to earn a day off in my book. You have to earn a vacation or earn, you know, the luxuries that come with certain jobs and certain positions. And I think that's what Hugh Freeze believes as well, which is why he has worked so hard and his hard work is paying off. If there's one thing that I believe in my entire life that I live my days by every day, is hard work pays off. I believe that. And I've lived my 24 years of life with that mindset. Hard work pays off. And so far, in a very short amount of time for Hugh Freeze at Auburn, hard work has paid off. And what you, as an Auburn fan, and all of Auburn fans across the country are hoping is that the hard work that this current team has put in back in the spring, over the summer, and right now in fall camp, you're hoping that that hard work pays off this year on the field. And if it does, great things are going to happen here because it is different. There's a different vibe. There's a different feel around town already. And no, it's not just because schools went back today. It's because Auburn has made changes and is making the turn and doing the things it takes to be successful. And just like in life, though, success is not guaranteed. Just because you take all the right steps to be successful doesn't mean you will be. You have to execute at the end of the day. And that's where we stand right now with Auburn football going into year two. So many great things have happened. So many steps have been taken in the right direction by Freeze, the staff, the administration, the athletic department, you, the fans, the players, everything and everybody. There have been so many great steps in the right direction. But it all comes down to execution. You can recruit as many great players as you want. You can hire as many of your favorite assistant coaches that you think are the best in the country. You can hire as many of those as you want. You can spend $1 billion in NIL. But if you don't execute and get the results and win games, then none of that matters. But I believe, and we're about to get to break, I believe that Auburn fans believe in this team. They believe in what this team and this program can do once again. And the fact that Hugh Freeze has done that in less than 2 years with only one season, a season that ended horribly, the fact that he has this fan base thinking the way they're thinking right now is nothing short of a miracle. Given what we went through, I said it was the darkest days I've ever seen in my lifetime of Auburn football. In just a short amount of time, he's got you thinking and believing that good things can happen here. And that's not a bad thing. That's awesome. I love that. I love that for this fan base. And credit to him, man. And it's nowhere near done, and the work is not done. But the potential for this season, it continues to grow. And with that, we'll take a break, because when we come back, we're going to get to these over-unders and these win totals that ESPN has put out via ESPN Bet, their betting service, because that's what everybody does nowadays. There's some really intriguing numbers in here. We're going to have this when we come back. We'll carry this conversation into Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. It'll be perfect to get his thoughts on some of these numbers as well, and you can be a part of it too. 334-321-1390. We'll have SEC win totals based off of ESPN's numbers when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Before we get to SEC win totals, and I promise we're going to get there, just a quick update on what's happening overseas in Paris right now. The United States men's basketball team, who they're just stacked, right? They're supposed to win gold every year because they've got the best players in the world, I guess, out of the United States, that are playing on the team. And yes, international basketball has grown and it's bigger than it's ever been. And you've got some really good players that play and represent different countries right now. But the United States Olympic basketball team playing against Serbia at the moment, and they're down by 13 heading into the fourth quarter. Yeah. In the semifinals, where you got to win to move on. And if you lose, you're going to be playing in a bronze medal game. Remember the last time the USA won bronze back in 04? And that team has still been made fun of? Yeah. This ain't looking too good. This team has done nothing today. Serbia's all over them. I'll give you updates as we go through the show. But I've been plugging it long enough, and so we're going to get into this a little bit. This is from today. All right, this is from today. ESPN and their betting service gave out and updated their win totals for the SEC in 2024 for college football. And they gave odds to make the conference championship game. They gave odds to make the playoff and make or get to the playoffs and then become the champions. And we'll work from the bottom, and I may not have time to get to all of these, but we can give some to Chris when he comes on, and then we can wrap up the show with this as well. Moving top to or bottom to top, Vanderbilt at 2.5 wins, over under 2.5 wins. That's just, man, that it, for an SEC team, it just seems disrespectful. It really does. It seems like that's a disrespectful number to give a team that wears the SEC logo. And we know that it's Vanderbilt, and I'm not going to go very long on this, I promise. But you're telling me that out of all of their games, they can't win three of them. They play four non-conference games. They open up with Virginia Tech in Nashville. They have Alcorn State. They do play at Georgia State, which is interesting. And then they have Ball State in there as well. Give me the over. Give me the over. Vanderbilt's going to win three games. All right. I know I was on them last year, said they were going to make a bowl game, and I got made look like a fool. I get it. But Vanderbilt's going to find a way to win three games. Come on. Arkansas, 4.5 wins. That's the over-under according to ESPN. And that's about accurate. Yeah, that's about where it stands with Arkansas. It's going to be a bad year. It's going to be another bad year. When my buddies in Arkansas are telling me that, then, yeah, you know it's not going to be pretty. So, man, 4.5 wins. Arkansas could have four wins this year. I think I'm going to take the under. We need to do a whole big segment about this. Maybe we can get into this a little bit tomorrow when Christian Griffin is with me as well. But just some of these numbers again. Arkansas, 4.5. Kentucky, 6.5. So ESPN's got them making a bowl game, but not by much. How about Florida? You ready for this? Take a guess real quick. I'll give you about 5 seconds to take a guess. What do you think Florida's betting line over-under win total is for 2024? All right, you got your number? It's 4.5. 4.5 wins. That's what ESPN's giving them. And look, I've been one of the harshest critics of Florida this offseason. I've been one of the ones that has absolutely no faith in them this year. But there were some people in Dallas a few weeks ago that were very sneakily high on Florida. I don't know why. I have no idea other than Graham Mertz, but I don't know. 4.5 still seems low, which is, again, kind of crazy to look at the Florida Gators logo and their win total to be projected at 4.5 over under. That's wild to me. It really is. Texas A&M is in there at 8.5. Oklahoma is 7.5. You know who else is 7.5? Yeah, you guessed it. Auburn. ESPN has Auburn's over-under win total of 7.5 wins. Do they go over? Do they go under? Isn't that perfect? Isn't that just the perfect line for Auburn? It's almost like the betting services and the betting people in Las Vegas kind of know what they're doing, right? I always say the buildings are pretty nice out there. It seems like they know what they're doing. But that's like a perfect betting line for the Tigers this year, for Hugh Freeze. Is it 7 wins because this team couldn't perform on the road in October and they lose to Bama and Georgia? Or is it 8 or more because they went and got somebody like they beat a Missouri and beat Kentucky, or they take down Alabama in the Iron Bowl? I think 7.5 is spot on. I, by no secret, I've told you this. I'll take the over. Give me Auburn to have over 7.5 wins. Oklahoma's in that line. I mentioned A&M at 8.5. Missouri is 9.5. Tennessee's at 8.5. Lots of teams are at 9.5. Wow, look at this. You've got Missouri at 9.5 wins over under. LSU at 9.5 wins over under. I think that's a little high. Not saying they can't, but that seems a little high for me for LSU. Ole Miss at 9.5, Alabama at 9.5 over-under wins, Texas 10.5, and Georgia 10.5. Now, that Texas line is a little different because they just lost their starting running back. They lost their starting running back a few days ago in fall camp, and that's brutal. That is, you hate to hear anybody getting injured. But to get hurt right now, right before the season starts, not even actually get into the season, you do all that work, and then you have it taken away from you because of some injuries. I hate that, man. I really, really do. And prayers up for him. Some of these are very interesting, and I have a feeling we're going to talk about this on tomorrow's show, too, and make some predictions, make some over-under predictions for this season. I think we should do that. And this guy, Chris Gordy, I'll run some of these by him as well and see what he thinks about some of these projected win totals around the Southeastern Conference, because he is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And he joins me every Thursday, and he's with us next talking win totals, talking storylines, fall camp, and so much more. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC joins us after this.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and we're about to be joined by Chris Gordy. But just an update really quick from Paris, the United States men's basketball team. They were down by 13 heading into the fourth. They've cut it to 5 with about 5.5 to play. So I'll keep you updated on that as they are in the semifinals trying to get to the gold medal match. So, again, we'll keep you updated on that. But let's get to Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. He's with us every single Thursday. Chris, great to hear from you, man. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, it's funny. Normally, I don't give a damn about Olympic basketball, but seeing them down, I'm like, well, I got to pop this on the TV and see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of it, but I'm locked in, man. I got it on here in the studio and keeping up with it. And what a disappointment that would be if the U.S. goes down in the semifinals to Serbia, where the only player that anybody would ever know is Nikola Jokic.
Well, and he's a pretty damn good one.
Yeah, I'd say
so. You're listening to a guy who was a pretty damn good champion.
Yeah, and I mean MVP and all that type of stuff. But we will keep you updated on the United States. But we do bring you on here for your SEC knowledge, not so much your Olympic basketball IQ here, Chris. And there's a lot to get to in terms of the SEC. And we'll start just going around different fall camps. What have you heard? What have you seen? What are you being told right now that the people need to know around the Southeastern Conference?
Well, the big one was yesterday with Texas losing their starting running back and C.J. Baxter. You know, they were expected to probably be, you know, a 50-50 man between him and Jaden Blue. And that was kind of what happened last year. Jonathan Brooks was, you know, kind of grabbed the bull by the horns early in the year and became their starting running back and rushed for over 1,000 yards. And he's off in the NFL now. He got injured towards the backstretch of the season, and they had to lean on Baxter and Jaden Blue in those last couple of games, including the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma State, and then, you know, the playoff game against Washington. They both performed well, but you know, basically everybody was saying that Baxter was going to be the starter, and now he is done for the season, and so the work is going to fall on Blue. But you know, the question is, what do they have behind him? And you know, they've recruited well. I think they have, you know, one of the top running backs in the country that just signed in this recruiting class. So, you know, we'll see if he could step up. But it'll be very interesting. I don't think it's going to damper Texas's championship hopes or anything like that. But just think of this. If they go into Michigan week two and they struggle to run the football and they have to become one-dimensional and yeah, it's all Quinn Ewers throwing the football, you know, can they win that way? So it's just going to be very interesting to see how that affects Texas moving forward. And you know, that comes on the heels of Tennessee losing their Thomas, who's going to be their starting nickelback. He's done for the season. So yeah, it's been a couple of names here, maybe not the biggest names out there, but some big names that were going to be big contributors to the SEC this year already out for the season.
Yeah, you answered my next question about Texas. I mean, is that a loss where, I mean, is it a whole win that they lost with him, or does it hurt their SEC championship you know, I guess their hopes that they're trying to get there? I mean, they've pretty much been the second team picked by everybody other than Georgia, but it's going to make it harder. I agree with you. It's definitely going to make it more difficult for Sark in Texas.
Yeah, and think of how they played in the Big 12 last year. I mean, in the Big 12, you can throw it a million times a game and win that way. I mean, think of it this way. They rushed for, as a team, for 4,000 or they threw for 4,000 yards. They rushed for about 2,600. I mean, they were not balanced in that aspect. You know, Quinn Ewers is going to throw the ball a ton like he did in the Big 12, but does that work in an SEC schedule? You know, can you win that way against the slate that you're playing? We're going to find out. But, you know, to me, still, it all comes down to that chemistry with all those new receivers they bring in. Isaiah Bond from Alabama, and Matthew Golden from Houston, Silas Golden from Oregon State. You know, Ryan Wingo was their big five-star freshman they signed. So, you know, if Ewers is on the same page as those guys and they have chemistry, they should be just fine. But, yeah, it certainly is one of those things. Again, I want to give credit to Jaden Blue. I think he's a serviceable number two, and I think he could be a number one for them. But, you know, this would be like I'm trying to think of a good equivalency. I guess this would be like if Alabama lost, you know, Jim Miller or Justice Haynes. You know, it's like the other guy is very serviceable, but, man, you would have liked to have both of them for the whole season.
Sure. And, I mean, there's no good way to spin when you lose one of your go-to running backs for an SEC team. And so while there has been some bad injury news around this conference, hopefully you've been seeing the good news that's coming out of Auburn's fall camp with the defense making noise and the receivers being what we thought they would be. There's some serious hype going on down here right now on the Plains, Chris.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's been nothing but good things I've been hearing out of Auburn camp. So here's hoping that you know, that things continue to trend that direction. And, you know, I was a little worried about the offensive line and, you know, is this going to be a strength of the team this year? I think it will be. And obviously the receivers, I think, are going to be a big piece of what needs to step up this year with obviously Peyton Thorne under center. So, you know, it's all good so far out of Auburn, and probably about what I expected that we'd be hearing at this point.
We had a hypothetical question come up earlier on the show. It was just in mid-conversation with one of my callers. They brought up the question, what would have Bo Nix been like if he had walked in as freshman Bo Nix, but with this receiver room and anything like this offensive line? I mean, What could have that have been with Bo Nix if he had all the tools around him that Auburn has right now?
Oh, I mean, I hate to say it, but championship contender. I mean, it would have been a different world with these receivers. And, you know, it's great that they've got Perry Thompson on campus now, and he's working into the fold. But, I mean, Cam Coleman stole everybody's hearts in the spring. And, you know, you're bringing DeAndre Lambert-Smith and Robert Lewis. This has a chance to be one of the best wide receiver rooms that Auburn has had in a couple of years. Now, I don't want to discount that room with Anthony Schwartz and those guys, because I thought they were pretty halfway decent. But this group, if they all live up to their hype of what they're supposed to be, you know, should put that Auburn room to shame. So, I don't think it's hyperbole to say peak Bo Nix with this group would have certainly been a title contender.
Yeah, I can't say that's music to Auburn fans' ears. I think that's just depressing at that point because of what he obviously went out and did out west in Oregon with a high-powered system, good players around him, a coach that, I don't know, knew what was happening, and he was sitting in New York for a Heisman ceremony. So it's a fun question that's happened to come up, and wanted to get your thoughts on that. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's with us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. And ESPN released an article today. Day updated win totals around the SEC, and I want to throw a couple of these at you and get your kind of your instant reactions here. We already talked about Texas. They have a 10.5 win total. Do you still feel pretty good about that over under?
God, it feels so high for a team that, I mean, they won double digit games last year, but like, when's the last time Texas put together back-to-back double digit win seasons? It's been a while. So I keep saying I think they're going to lose that game at A&M to finish off the season because they're going to treat that like their Super Bowl. I think they're going to lose at home to Georgia, so that's two losses right there, and you know that's only 10 wins. That's 10-2. So, yeah, man, I if I had to put money on it, I would lean the under 10.5 for Texas. I know everybody keeps talking about, oh, they got the best draw of any schedule, you know, for the SEC, but it still is their first time in the SEC, and yeah, they still have to play Oklahoma on a neutral field, who, by the way, beat them a year ago. And, you know, who knows? A game at Arkansas could be tough. A game at home against Florida could be tough. A game at home against Kentucky. That game on the road against Michigan. You know, they could slip up in any of those games. Keep in mind, and somebody brought this up to me the other day, I mean, they played with fire last year in a couple of those games.
You better believe it. Yeah.
They needed a big stop on fourth down to beat Houston in the final seconds last year. I mean, we just keep acting like Texas is back and this is what they do. I mean, I've been preaching it all offseason. Let's pump the brakes on this until they prove it to us. I'm not ready to say that they are just going to be a perennial title contender every year.
Four teams that have the over-under of 9.5, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, and Missouri.
Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, and Missouri. 9.5, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about right, because I keep looking at Missouri and Ole Miss's schedules, and I keep saying, you know, even if they both lose their two toughest games, I think they win the rest of them because of how the schedule sets up. I think that they both are 10-2. LSU is the tough one, because I still think their defense has some major issues. I still wonder about their pass rush. I still wonder about their secondary. But somebody brought up to me, I mean, they are going to be favored in just about every game they play. So, you know, is it tough to open with USC on a neutral field? Yes, but it's a game LSU's favored to win. You know, they have to go on the road to South Carolina. They'll be favored to win. They have to play Ole Miss at home. They'll be favored to win. LSU has not lost to Ole Miss in Baton Rouge since 2008. So, you know, you start to run through the numbers and say, okay, LSU with Alabama in Baton Rouge. The last time Alabama came through, they lost in Baton Rouge. And, by the way, Nick Saban's gone now. So, yeah, I mean, LSU, as much as I want to buy into them, the schedule is tough, the opponents they play, but Vegas odds are saying that they're expected to win most of those games. So that might be one of those teams maybe we're not talking about enough. If they do make the improvements defensively, that could certainly play into the playoff world. And then Alabama's just fascinating, too. I mean, we expect the offense is going to be good with Jalen Milroe, but I got some major questions about their secondary, man. I've heard that they've recruited very well there. They brought in some nice five-star DBs, and they're trying to work them in early and often. And, you know, look at how the schedule sets up for them. They're going to get a little bit of an ease into it, playing Western Kentucky at home, playing South Florida at home before they have to go to Wisconsin in week 3. And then, of course, they come home for Georgia after that. But you know, when I'm hearing out of their camp is, man, they're getting a lot of good run out of Red Morgan and Xavier Mincy and Xavier Brown, and these guys look great, but I'm like, they're all true freshmen, and that's what's going to be tough is if they got to lean on true freshmen in the secondary for Alabama without Nick Saban coaching them up. I just think you're going to have opportunities where guys get beat, and is Bama going to be a team this year where they got to win games 52-48 like LSU did last year?
The one that I can't, my eyes won't let me accept it, is the fact that Florida and Arkansas have the same projected over-under at 4.5 wins, Chris. It feels wrong to have them looped together right now, but it also kind of makes sense.
Well, if you listen to, I had Phil Steele on our show last week, a Locked On SEC, and he's a buyer into Florida. He thinks that they're going to win maybe 8 or 9 games.
Holy smokes.
He said, look, the schedule is tough, but we're spending way too much time worried about, you know, talking about the schedule being tough and not enough about, hey, Florida's actually a pretty damn good team. If you look at the roster, I mean, a lot of their miscues last year were, you know, special team snafus and stupid, dumb penalties at times and stuff like that. And, you know, Billy Napier understands what he's up against. If he cleans up those mistakes, man, I think there's a chance for Florida to win some of these tough games. And suddenly, you know, I'm not saying they're going to, you know, Phil Steele said they're going to get 8-9 wins. I think 6-6 is doable. I think there's a way that they can, you know, you beat Samford, that's one, getting the one guaranteed win on the schedule. But, you know, maybe you beat Miami in the opener. Maybe you beat A&M in week 3. And, you know, maybe you beat UCF. That's 4 wins there. You only need to find 2 more the rest of the way. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. But, yeah, like if you keep seeing Florida and the books say 4 wins, I'd bet the over. I just think even with Billy Napier, he's not the best coach in the country. I get it. But, like, he can't go 5-7. I just feel like that's at least doable.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, his job is on the line. I mean, his job is up for grabs, I feel like, right now down there in Gainesville. It's crazy to see with – a team that I think has a lot of talent, 4.5 wins, just being paired up with Florida and having them next to the logo of Arkansas as well. And then Vanderbilt, I said that they're terrible. I know that, but it just feels wrong and disrespectful to have 2.5 wins for them. You're telling me they can't win 3 games somewhere, Chris? Come on.
Well, I mean, I don't think Clark Lee's a very good football coach, but the tough part about them is, what's their offense going to look like? Is it going to be Diego Pavia or Nate Johnson at quarterback? I think they're both upgrades to what they've had there recently in the system, you know, from A.J. Swan to Ken Seals to Walter Taylor. So they're going to upgrade there, you know, at least offensively, and can they score some points? But, I mean, they'll beat Alcorn State week 2. They'll probably beat Georgia State week 3, although that's not a given. That Georgia State's been a pretty respectable program, and they got to play them on the road.
Yeah.
And then they host Ball State at home. So that's 3 right there in the non-con. You know, they open with Virginia Tech. I don't know. I mean, if they beat Virginia Tech in the opener in Nashville, yeah, go ahead and absolutely ring them up for the over, because then they're playing with house money. But the big thing is, can they win a conference game? And to me, it's going to come down to that quarterback spot. And can Pavia or Johnson, whoever wins that quarterback battle, score enough points? Because, you know, the defense was god-awful, but the offense was hideous. They couldn't score points.
Well, there's a lot of big storylines heading into SEC play, which is just a few weeks away for the college football season, and there's nobody better that covers it than Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Tell the people where they can find it, how they can access it, and what's coming up.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC. You get your podcast. We're there for you 5 days a week talking all things Southeastern Conference, all the biggest news and happening going on around the SEC, and man, we've had some great interviews from SEC Media Days and much more, and we're getting ever so close to the start of the season.
Don't worry, Chris. The United States pulled it out. They went on a run.
They
ended up beating
Serbia.
I don't know how they did it. I don't know how, but they did. They pulled it out. Well, hey, go get to feeling better. We'll have you on the show next week, all right?
All right, thanks, man.
That's Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Man, I really do appreciate him being on today. I was feeling a little under the weather, but still taking one for the team and joining us here on the show. And as I said to him, I was kind of looking up and at it every now and then talking with him. I don't know how they did it, but the United States came back from 13 down and beat Serbia to get to the gold medal match, to the championship game. And they're fired up, man. Good for them. good for them. They were fired up. They faced a ton of adversity, and they came through, and they get to the championship game. We'll take our final break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a great, great show today. And I say that a lot. I do. I say it a lot. But today has been a lot of fun. And we've had all sorts of conversations today. Thursdays are just a lot of fun with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network and then Chris Gordy with Locked On SEC. Just got off the phone with him. If you missed those two interviews, my conversations with some phone callers today too, which was fun. Some hypotheticals, some what-ifs, some schedule breakdowns, some win totals in the SEC. There's been a lot on the show today. So if you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You can find that at ESPNAU.com. I'll go and post that when we get done here. And coming up on tomorrow's show, tomorrow is Friday, Free For All Friday. No Uncle T-Bone, but Christian Griffin will be with me in the studio. Voice of the Lee Scott Warriors will be joining us once again. And we will go over quite a bit. I think we're going to give our predictions for over-unders based off the betting lines. Also, I've been talking about this for some time, and I wrote it down so I don't forget. We're going to give you, in ourselves, a refreshing reminder of where these teams have moved in conference realignment, maybe even some player movement as well that you've probably forgotten about. Because guess what? I have forgotten about some of these. And every time I hear that Quinshon Judkins is at Ohio State or Kyle McCord is the quarterback at Syracuse and things like that, it's like, wait, what? It's crazy, man. And there's just been so much movement with the transfer portal and conference realignment. We're going to kind of help you out a little bit. Get you ready for the college football season, and we're going to just break down the conferences, the new look conferences, and what that is going to be and how that's going to change the game moving forward in college football. So we'll have that for you tomorrow, and again, we'll probably do our SEC over-under predictions based off of, we'll probably pull multiple sites and kind of average it out, and we'll kind of do it that way. So, and it's Free For All Friday tomorrow, which means you can be a part of the show. Call in, text in, however you want to do it. You can come in and be a part of the show. And as I mentioned, the United States, man, Steph Curry is a beast. Steph Curry will go down as one of the greatest point guards of all time. And he is a main reason why the United States just beat Serbia. They will play France on Saturday at 2 or 2:30, one of those times. Can't remember what I just saw. But they will play France in the championship game, the gold medal match on Saturday afternoon, and Serbia will take on Germany in the bronze and silver game. Or no, in the bronze game. Sorry, loser of the gold medal match gets silver. They'll have a bronze game between Germany and Serbia. So a little bit of an Olympic update for you as well. A reminder, thank you to the Orthopedic Clinic for bringing you the second hour each and every day here on the show. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you, and you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Come back tomorrow, okay? Me and Christian are going to be here. We're getting you caught up on all the alignment, all the transfer portal news, and over-under predictions around the SEC. And yes, that means for Auburn as well. So we'll have that for you and a whole lot more on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. The Drive coming up with Bill and Dan. Stick around two more hours of sports talk radio on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on your radio dial. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.